Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung. There are some professions telling stories with the power of generated images, which are differently perceived by each recipient. Whom do we find among those professions? Writers, artists, musicians, such as architects and designers. It becomes particularly exciting when results of design cross boundaries of disciplines. The story can experience a sudden turn. Previously unseen things at once become the protagonists of a story. One of Germany's most successful design studios is Ippolito Fleitz Group, an office that has mastered the art of storytelling in various dimensions. Peter Ippolito and Gunther Fleitz founded the studio in 2002. Since then, they have been working with a passionate team of all kinds of disciplines. They call themselves identity architects and realize a wide variety of international projects in architecture, interior, and product design, such as communication and brand strategies. In 2015, Peter and Gunther were the first German interior designers to be permitted to Interior Design Magazine's prestigious Hall of Fame. In today's podcast episode, we talk about stories and interpretations with our guest, Peter Ippolito. We are Diane and
Katrina from Jung.
Hello and welcome to our Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Nice to have you with us, Peter.
Great being here. Thanks.
Ippolito Fleitz Group doesn't think according to disciplines. You develop integrated solutions that are part of an entire picture and yet something very distinctive. Therefore, we have decided not to talk to you about current projects or latest topics. We would like to hear some new stories by giving you certain buzzwords and listen to your spontaneous response. Are you ready?
Cool. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Discipline or disciplines?
Disciplines. Look, when we started this studio, we never thought of these kind of things, right? We just did it. And I think that's pretty much part of what we are still today, although we are like a big team now with more than 100 people. But our studio is really much based on a very, very hands-on pleasure of being involved in projects. And so we didn't care too much in the theory of things. We only had a gut feeling that it is, although we were like super passionate with, you know, where we came from architecture, for both Gunther and myself, that the world is too interesting, too complex, too multifaceted to just look out of our discipline into the projects which we thought were out there and which soon were part of our daily routine. And so we always thought in a more embracing and more curious way of doing these projects and invited other people into them. Beside that, being educated as an architect, at least in my time, you have the self-confidence that you can do everything.
You just mentioned the next word, curiosity and talent, or maybe responsibility. How about these?
Oh, man, these are many words. look, curiosity, of course, is a very general term, but it's something which is really close to our heart. We've always been very open to what's out there in the world. And I think I always believe in that kind of energy. You know, you throw energy out and you'll get something back. And so as it happened, you know, in the second year of our studio life, and we pretty much started studio right after diploma, we were involved in a crazy project in the Black Forest with, you know, building the world tallest Ferris wheel out of wood, cutting into a mountain and transforming a very conservative town with a new idea of economy and tourism, etc. And the next year we went to China. And so this openness to whatever comes and is part of our story, I think was a big driver for us, realizing that, you know, again, there are so many possible answers to projects. There's not one true answer. There's not our style. It's about our users. It's about who we work for. And that kind of pleasure, I would call it more a pleasure rather than a curiosity, to basically meet every week a new idea of life or business in different parts of the world, has always been a huge driving force for us. because it keeps us learning and it keeps us on the toes to really question our own identity. And I think that's a experience we all have, you know, when we or had when we went the first time abroad, not only for holidays but for business, and you suddenly mirror your own culture and you see that there's different different ways to look at the same thing and there might be different relevant answers. And so that was always part of our intention.
Nice.
Responsibility, it's a different word you just said. Well, I think we have a very high responsibility as designers. As we always have this double situation, right? We are mirroring society and we're shaping society. So in the second part, obviously we have a responsibility because we're shaping society, especially in the part of architecture and interior architecture on a long term. This is not something I can throw out. This is something which is going to stay and shapes an environment people going to live, work, have fun, love for a certain period in their life. So this is has a responsibility towards the user, and that was always the strongest motive for what we set out to do. Is not to talk too much about my vision and stuff. Of course, we have an energy as a designer, and we have an idea about how we see the world. But the real goal is to do something which really is relevant to people, which affects people, which gives value to people, because we believe everything else doesn't make any sense. There's no sense in doing something which doesn't add a value to your users. And however it looks like, whatever it does, it needs to have that sort of energy. And so I think that's our primary responsibility. It's not to change the world necessarily. That's like on a later level. But it's like really giving value to people who are using your, let's say, products, because it's not about space only.
Mm-hmm. What about the word beauty, Peter? Do you use the word beauty, or is that kind of forbidden?
No, nothing is forbidden.
Oh, okay. That's a good buzzword. Nothing is forbidden.
No, literally nothing is forbidden. There's a few things which might be forbidden. But obviously we're designers, and we strive for a certain aesthetic and for a certain way how we shape things. I might say things because I'm not saying it's about aesthetics, it's about concepts. Mm-hmm. And so we're shaping concepts, and if a good concept is delivered in a very relevant way, it might be beautiful. It might not be beautiful, and it might be right too. So beauty is, of course, something which we, from an aesthetic standpoint, you know, love to do, and we love beautiful things. I'm the first one to say, you know, I love beautiful things. Just look at my home.
We can see it. The audience can't see it.
But beauty is not a value in itself. I think that's the more important take on it. You know, beauty is not a value in itself. Beauty is a consequence out of a good concept, is a consequence out of something which relates to your user or to a customer, and which of course is a beautiful way how to touch somebody, right? Because we're all striving for something, you know, which touches us, and beauty. Is of course one of these things, but it might not be the only one. It's not, certainly not the goal per se. The goal is on a deeper level, something which relates to people.
Mm-hmm. What about paradigm shifts?
Look, there's so many paradigm shifts I experienced for the past 30 years.
Absolutely. Just to name a few.
Well, you know, when I started in America, we talked about the paradigm shift and how to design things, you know, parametric design. That was never my paradigm shift. Now in COVID, a lot of people talking about paradigm shift. It's too much drama for me. I believe that, yes, we as designers, as much as we are the society and every, you know, everybody is developing in a society, and if there's drivers which are changing our way how we see things and which change the circumstances how we do and see and live our lives, you know. And of course there's a lot of changes there, and the challenge we have in our life is that the changes go quicker and quicker. So the question of what can you rely on as a value, what can you rely on as a truth, what can you rely your own value system on, is a constant challenge, because we learned that change, which always has been part of everybody's life, but now in a much more accelerated way. So I'm not quite sure whether, you know, the drama of talking about paradigm shifts, of course, it's good to illustrate that kind of change, but I think we have much better, it's a much better way to think about it, that we are in a constant change, not in a sudden change, as much as COVID is not a sudden change or not a game changer. Sudden, COVID is an accelerator of things which were in our society and which we discussed for, you know, the past 10, 20 years. Now it's just pretty much on the table right now and we have to react on it. So, yes, we are living in a constantly changing world and that is beautiful. I think we have to embrace it rather than to be scared of it. And of course it's scary and we all feel scared, don't get me wrong. That's a very human situation. We are facing new things at the daily basis and have to adjust to it. And sometimes it's scary. On the other side, it is the most beautiful thing you can embrace, right? Mm-hmm. Because life is complex and we love, you know, the complexity of life. So just dive in. I think there's nothing to do wrong.
A word we have to deal with, especially lately, is new work. What's your opinion on that?
We're doing a huge amount of workspace projects, from smaller projects like agencies up to very large global corporate headquarters all over the world. And so the change in workspace is, I think, one of the most interesting parts of our field right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much into the buzzword again, because the buzzword makes it easy to limit yourself in certain stereotypes. And when I say it's the most interesting part or one of the most interesting parts of what we're doing right now, it is because it really shows that it's not about a result anymore. Look, we were trained in our studies to do something, we just had the word beautiful, right? To do something beautiful, right? Whether it's a beautiful product, whether it's a fantastic architecture, whatever. And that's still, of course, you know, at the core of what our intention is. But as I said before, we have to learn as designers that there is a different idea of design. And then if we don't design the processes, we're not going to be successful to create products which are successful beyond being beautiful or being functional. So workspace design is a good example for that. It's not enough to design a beautiful, to use your words, workspace, and there's many of those, you know. It's not enough to put in a lot of armchairs and communication furniture to have new work. And it's not enough to build a wooden arena and then you're like progressive. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's about a cultural change and it's about how you actually design an environment which mirrors cultural identity of a company in the with an idea that if you talk about new work, it's always about leadership, it's about organization, it's about tools, and it's about space. So it's only one of four. It's not the whole thing. And if you want to make a successful project, you'll have to cover the other three as well, whether you do it yourself or whether you do it in the context of a whole consulting group. It doesn't matter, but that makes the project really interesting. So the change management project in a workspace project, in a new work project, is at least as important, if not more important, than the actual result we're doing. And that's how humble we have to be as a designer. But that's how exciting it can be for us exploring a new way how to design, which is much more, and that's totally different from, you know, now me being 25 years in the business, how we were trained. So we're talking much more about co-creation project processes. We're talking much more about intricate collaborational idea about how to work with your client and their, you know, in the realm of workspace and with their team in order to get to a project which at the end, of course, needs to be something which needs to work and which needs to match all the facility ideas, blah, blah, blah. But it's a cultural design rather than a functional design, and that goes for everything. And so we see that in a nutshell in workspace design. That's why new work is an interesting a lookout for, I think, what we're looking at when we're designing projects, whatever it is, because we are pushed into a field which is not generally ours by education, mm-hmm. But we feel that with our background and with our way how we think, you know, others have to learn design thinking. We are designers thinking, right? we have something valuable to contribute, right?
What about happiness?
Very important.
Especially now.
I'd rather say joy. I think for us, at least for us, it always has been a most important part that we enjoy what we're doing. And quite frankly, that's the main trigger why we're there. I profoundly enjoy what I'm doing on a daily basis. And that's why we shaped the studio probably the way how it is today, because obviously it has something to do with Gunther and myself and what we are having pleasure in looking in the world and in traveling and seeing all these kind of different ideas and projects. And the same goes for the team. So yes, joy is a big driver, not only for us as creators, but of course, as I said, I'm not quite sure about the word happiness, but relevance, value, purpose is certainly things we thrive to do for our users. And if that ultimately leads in happiness, that's good, you know, but happiness is a much bigger word than that.
Let's move to something kind of opposite, boredom. Are you ever bored?
Rarely.
Quick, short question, short answer. Let's move behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, that's a buzzword?
Yeah.
Oh, were you not finished with bored yet?
I thought rarely was very clear somehow.
Nothing to add. Rarely, period.
I mean, you can, of course. Sorry. Maybe boredom will be fine behind the scenes. Maybe that's the connection.
Yeah.
Look, it's hard work. That connects to what I said before, to joy. Look, at the end, you're at a point in your career and you have that kind of projects because you mean it. And that doesn't come by itself. So with all the fun and all the joy and all the pleasure we have in doing all these things, at the end, it's really hard work. And if you don't like that kind of stuff, and I love hard work and I always liked it, and I always found pleasure in it, then it's difficult, right? And of course, you know, it's like everywhere else, you know, the shell might be nicer than the processes behind. There's always a truth of reality in it, but we love it. We just love it, right? But it is as complex as it is, right? A studio in our size now has a different way of how you define your role. It's a different way of communicating. Not only is the change in how we look at the world and how our projects are being composed and require different skill sets from us. For us as a studio, we have been in a constant change for the past 20 years in growing. Nobody taught us management. So for us, it is a constant challenge how to address these things and how to cope with them and how to react right. And, you know, many mistakes, super many mistakes. And again, that's part of the process as well. But at the end, you know, the bottom line comes back to what you said before. It's joy, right?
Yeah.
If you don't feel joy, you just leave it. And I've always felt, even when we were a very, very small studio right at the beginning of what we did, is that I realized I only can be really good if I'm enjoying myself. There's better way to earn money, believe me. So this is about really, there's a deep pleasure in what we're doing. And as long as I have that, and as long as the team kind of works in that same idea, I think we're good.
And I mean, if the joy can be felt by all your people within the office, that's kind of a motivation driver, no? I mean, you're just like, everyone is trying to reach this kind of joy feeling, and it just leads you easily to work hard on it, no?
Well, look, I wouldn't lie if I would say, you know, a studio with three studios in the world or even five with representatives, and the complexity we're having right now is only a bunch of joyful people, right? you have a complexity in a team where you find everything and every kind of character in every kind of phase, and that is a constant change because it's an organism. And that's very common. That's like, you know, how teams work. And so, yes, yeah. you have not only, because that would be just weird to say, a group of smiling, happy people every day being buzzed with what you're doing, you know, but there's a bottom line. I think that's what it is. There's a bottom line on being excited about being in the position to work with really interesting people on the most interesting projects with an increasing level of complexity in terms of scope, in terms of cultural complexity, in terms of you know, looking out for projects we never did before, which we always love. And I think if you're up for that, that's the place to be. But it kind of requires that, of course. And so, you know, coming from a small family studio type to a big studio as we are right now, maintaining that kind of hunger for the new and the openness, and at the same time, you know, doing all the things we need to do in order to have a studio in that size running smoothly, you know, is part of quite honestly my personal growth. When we decided that we allow growth, because it's an experience I never had before, and I was curious how I'm going to deal with that, right?
Yeah.
And so far, I think we did pretty well. It's okay.
We would say so as well, actually.
How about simplicity? Can you connect all these things we were talking about to a kind of simplicity?
I just been to Rome, and the only reason I went to Rome is because I wanted to go to this restaurant in the Abruzzo. It's a 3-star restaurant, Nico Romito. He's a fantastic chef. He's like the most outstanding chef, and he's totally dedicated to simplicity, but in the most complex way. So you get a piece of cauliflower, right, which is like a piece of cauliflower, like, you know, 5 centimeters in diameter as one of the dishes, but they cooked for 7 days on it. Right? And that's kind of my idea of simplicity. I think simplicity, not a serious point, simplicity has a complexity to it. It's not complicated, but it's complex. And that's the kind of simplicity I like. But simplicity, again, there are projects which require a very straightforward, clear answer, and I rather use the word clear than simplicity, because simplicity already gives you a value system. And again, we don't have as a studio a value system, like in a sense of how we address projects and how we answer to them, that this is the answer. There might be projects which require simplicity or a clarity, and there are projects which require a pleasure in diving into things and creating the most wildest collages, and we enjoy both of them. So simplicity is not a word which frightens me or is a word which kind of fills me with joy. It's just something which might apply to a project and which might not apply to a project. But let me say, in a sense, is when we talk about simplicity, it's not about being boring, or it's about being scared of design, or it's not about being trying to make my world smaller because I shut out complexity. It might be a right answer because it fits the personality or the identity of my client or their users, right? And then we'll of course look like the cauliflower into a complexity, into the simplicity, which makes it refined and which makes it interesting and which makes it worthwhile living or using it for the years to come, right? And I think that's the more important thing, how to create something, whether it's simple or whether it's complex or whether it's both, how to create something which not only gives you the pleasure of one view, which is not only a nice image on your Instagram, but is something you really love to use, love to live in, love to work in on a long-term basis. And you always discover something in it something new, something, rediscover something on a duration of your usage. And that's what we're striving for. I love coming back to projects 10 years later and you'll see something again and you'll rediscover something and you feel like, oh my God, this is so, you know, it's something which gives value. And I think that moment of care, however it is being translated, is something which every user on one way or the other reads. And that, of course, always translates into care for himself. And that's the motive, right? So it's not about simplicity as a value per se.
And simplicity does not have to be easy, and complex doesn't have to be complicated.
Exactly. Complicated is always bad.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
Peter, is there a message you would like to leave for our young audience who are just right at the beginning of their careers?
Just do it.
So easy.
Yeah, as simple as it comes, just do it, right? I mean, obviously, you know, there are a million ways how to build your career and there are a million ways how to do it right. So I think the worst thing you can do is just being scared and get stuck in a situation because you don't want to move. I think there's, especially if you're young, there's nothing to do wrong, really. Just try out things. I tried out.
Find the best part of you.
Yeah, many, many things. I tried out many, many things, and a lot of things I tried out, I was super scared of. But I always grew on these things. Mm-hmm. And whatever your path is, whether you're going to start your studio or whether you're going to work somewhere or whether you're going to change career, I think just go for it and learn. As we said before, you know, now even more than 30 years ago, we are in a situation where we need to be learning on a constant basis, where we need to grow, we need to be agile in our head. And so don't get stuck on early ages. You know, it's going to get difficult. But I think that's all there is to it. Just like, do it, you know, just do it. Just go for it. Love it. Live it. Embrace it. Do it.
Oh, Peter, that was a really great journey of inspiration with you today. A very dynamic conversation. Now, we and all of our listeners are surely longing for more. So I think we should just like continue this conversation just in a few weeks or months, however the way goes and where our world is going to change. Thank you very much for your insights, for your inspiration, and for your time, Peter.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Many thanks to our listeners as well. If there are topics or speakers you are especially interested in, then please let us know at architects@jung.de. We heartily invite you to the upcoming Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Look them up on jung.de/architects and tune in.